I was praying, God, I said, as I was going through this, and the Lord spoke to me today. He said, this is who I want you to have speak. And I said, yes, Lord. And today, we've got a tremendous speaker who's going to come. Chaplain Sanders is going to preach. Let me tell you something. He has spoken tremendous things in my life. What we are doing at this church is a result of God sending tremendous leaders and people such as himself. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to listen. I want you to open your heart and mind. I believe God's going to speak through you. I think he's going to share some of his story today, and I'm excited to hear what God's going to do through him. So if you can do me a favor, I guess I'm going to take your old school church, lift your right hand, and everybody say, God bless Chaplain Sanders. Let's receive him this time.
Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? God Almighty, we thank you this morning for this opportunity you have given me to come and to share your word this morning, Father. I pray, Father, that all will be said and done in decent and order, and to give you glory and honor for what you have done in my life, Lord. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I always give an honor to my pastor and his wife and for this opportunity that he's given me to come and share a little bit about my life this morning. Thank God for the woman of God he's placed in my life always. Yeah. I'll say a little bit more about her in a few minutes, so I won't say too much now. The best sermon I ever preached was the one I was reading in the car on the way here. So I don't know if it's going to sound the same if it was in the car. So I'm sorry you wasn't riding with me this morning. You may have missed the best part of the sermon, because I even cried at the end to myself. So you might not get it, but I got it this morning. So I'm sorry if you don't get it in a few minutes. So. God is good. He is so good, and I thank God for who he is in my life. So I'm going to go ahead and get started, because I want to, amen, get to the portion that I want to share a little bit about my life and who I am as a man of God and what God has led me and brought me to this thus far in my life. Today is Father's Day. It's a day that we set aside to honor the men who have been given the great privilege of being fathers. I thank God for my father. I cherish those memories that I have of him. I thank the Lord for the tremendous honor of being a father myself. The Lord has blessed Lisa and me with 4 wonderful children and 7 great grandchildren. Well, my kids' kids, because I don't say granddaddy yet. I'm sorry. I'm Papa Jay and Papa to them. I don't know if I want to be, I'm 60, but I still don't want to be a granddaddy yet. But that's a joke with us, so you'll get it later. I know I may have made mistakes as a father. I hope I get a few things right along the way as well. Either way, I know I have influence in the way our children have turned out. I know that a man in a position of leadership in the church, my life has tremendous influence for good or for ill. Other children as well. I say that to remind you that we often misunderstand the influence that a man has on his children. Yeah. Yeah. Father, you influence the lives of your children every single day. They are watching you. They are learning from you. Sons are learning how to treat their spouse. Daughters are learning what to look for in their own spouse. Sons and daughters are learning how to serve the Lord. Your children are learning how to appreciate the Bible, the church, the things of God, just by watching you. Men, all the children in your life, whether they are in your family or just around you in the church and community, they are watching you and learning from your example. They are learning about faithfulness, obedience to the Lord, worship, serving God and others, and many other lessons just by watching how you carry yourself. Some fathers may think like this. There was a father they called from a little bit of time ago, and it said this: if little girls are made of sugar and spice and everything nice, what are fathers made of? When you opened the card, all you saw were big green letters saying, money. Once upon a time in the land of Canaan, there were two families that lived together. However, because they were so wealthy in flocks and herds and land, they could not support them. They were not able to stay together. Therefore, the families of Lot and the family of Abraham separated from each other. The family of Lot chose to pitch their tents in the Jordan River Valley near the city of Sodom. It was rich, well-watered valley like the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt. However, when the men of Sodom were wicked, were sinful, greatly against the Lord, the family of Abraham chose to remain in the hill country of Canaan. This land, presumably, it was not just as rich as the Jordan River Valley. It was there that God chose Abraham to lift up his eyes and look north, south, east, and west. All the land that Abraham could see from the heights were promised to him and his offspring. Lot, a righteous man, but wrong choices. Tell your neighbor, say wrong choices. As we look at Lot, we always need to keep in mind what Peter said about him. Peter called Lot a righteous man who was distressed by the filth of living and lawless men, 2 Peter 2 and 7. Peter did not say this on his own. This is something Peter had not just made up, but spoken through God's word. Lot was a righteous man who was distressed by the filth of living and lawless men. As we look and see ourselves in Lot, how many times we, like Lot, make choices that are disastrous and consequences for our family and children? How many times we, like Lot, put the souls of our families and children in danger? The word tells us that there are not even 10 righteous people. When God began to look down on Sodom and wanted to save it, he could not find one but one righteous man. And who was that person? Lot. And everything was said and done. The only righteous person there was Lot. So what happened to Lot's wife? What happened to Lot's daughter? What happened is that Lot made a decision to let them live in the middle of wicked Sodom. What happened is that Lot made a decision that negatively impacted their souls for eternity. Lot chose Sodom. In the process, he lost his wife and his daughter and his family. Lot chose Sodom, and the souls of his wife and daughter were lost. But if we look in chapter 18, let me read that one verse into your hearing this morning. You can turn with me to Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. And I want to hear what God says about Abraham. He says, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children, his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord would bring about from Abraham what he had promised." Abraham, chosen by God. Our scripture reading reminds us of Abraham's special place in the heart of God. God himself says, "I have chosen him." There's nothing special about Abraham that led God to choose him. He was better than all the other. He was not better than all the other men. He wasn't stronger. He wasn't smarter. He wasn't more industrious. In fact, God chose him before the beginning of the time already. God chose Abraham out of grace. This means it was nothing that Abraham deserved. Rather, it was something that God, in his love, decided to do. "I have chosen Abraham," says the Lord, "for God has chosen you and me." Tell your neighbor, say, "God has chosen you." Every single believer, like Abraham, is chosen of God. Every single believer, like Abraham, has an everlasting covenant relationship with God, and therefore are one of God. Separate, different people. Every single believer, like Abraham, is to be God's partner, God's fellow worker in bringing about the kingdom. Every single believer, like Abraham, is a friend of God to whom God reveals his will, not in person, but in his word. There are a lot of choices we could choose these days. A lot of friends. We choose our mate for marriage. We choose our church. We choose our school. We choose committees that we may choose to be on. We're chosen to be promoted by our boss. There are a lot of things that we're chosen, But the greatest gift of all is to be chosen by God. Tell your neighbor, say, you are chosen by God. Peter reminds us, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Do you hear that task elected to declare his praises? Abraham had been chosen by God. So what did God expect of him to do? What did God expect of us as a church? What did God expect of us as parents, prosperous new parents to be, or grandparents? God has chosen us as parents. So what does God expect of us today? As I thought about this text here in Genesis chapter 18, and I thought about Abraham's life, I thought about my own life and what God has brought me thus far in this life. And I thought about all the things that I have gone through over time, and took me back even as his father day comes, that my father, who is not here with me, died when I was in college. And then within 6 months, or probably 5 months, my real father died, who was killed in Chattanooga for his coat, nothing else. Walking down the street at night and somebody killed him for his coat. But I look back at their lives and what they meant to me and where I'm now today and what the things I started to do in my life. But what I want to say is that what I began to think about was, what did I want to be as a man? Not because of what my dad did, not because of what my stepfather may have done, but because me as a man, I had to make my decision, what kind of man am I going to be? And I began to pursue that. I began to pursue that. And we as men, we as women, you have to make a decision on yourself. Yes, you were born in a family. Yes, they may say you are just like so-and-so. And we often want to say that you cannot, what, train a dog and teach him new tricks? This is the Bible. You can change your life. If you can't, then the word is not what it says it is. But I'm here to tell you that the word of God can change who you are. So I, for me, began to pursue. And I think it was really, I don't know if I told this story, but let me share just quickly with you. I was in seminary. And we have worship service there twice a week. I think it was Tuesday and Thursday. It's been a long time, so I don't remember exactly what days is. So. But we were having worship service that day. And one of our guys got up to speak or to do a prayer. He was from Mississippi. And in his prayer, he started talking about his daddy. And I'm like, he's praying to God. Well, he calling him daddy. Now, I've heard that before. But have you ever been in a store and a child is lost and they're looking for their mama or daddy? It's something about in their voice. Yes, and they say, daddy, yes, mama. Come on now. And you can say, that's something. And when he was praying that morning, I was like, man, he's calling daddy. And he not just calling him daddy, he calling him daddy. He like, I'm searching for somebody. And I said, man, that's what I want. I need that kind of daddy in my life. And God began to speak to me and share with me things that I needed to do and what I wanted to do to change the way I may have saw the way I was raised. Not that I was raised bad. Not that my parents ever treated me. Not that I didn't get a whole lot of whoopings. I don't think I got a whole lot of trouble. I got in trouble just like everybody else did. But I made a decision that I wanted to be the man that God wanted me to be. And so I began to search through the word and develop a relationship, tell your neighbor, relationship. A relationship with God that helped me become the man that I am, good or bad. So I want to just share a few of those incidents and things because I want you to think about yourself and where you are, no matter what you're going through. No matter what kind of father that may have raised you, no matter where you have come from, no matter what has happened to you in your life, I'm here to tell you this morning that God can change all of that. It's all up to you to make a decision which direction you want to go. And so as I began to make that walk, and I moved from here, I was living in Murfreesboro, graduated from MTSU, and decided to move to Atlanta because I wanted to go back to school at some point. And I left here in 82. And all the things that had happened to me, God said, I live by one scripture, Romans 8 and 28. All things work to better for them that love the Lord and them that are called according to the purpose. And God reminded me every day. He said, it will work out. I didn't know what my life was going to turn out. I mean, I could have went to Atlanta and did anything. Nobody knew me. Well, I guess I got cousins and stuff there. But I mean, when you live in Atlanta, and those who've been in Atlanta, you can live across town and still be out of town. So you could, but I moved there. And then God began to touch my life in the sense of the direction I should go. And I'm going to tell you the first thing, and I said this a couple of weeks ago when my wife preached. The greatest gift of all that ever came to my life was when my wife came into my life. She has made a tremendous difference. If I can walk you through everything that I've done in the last 30 years, through my time in the military, how God has blessed me and anointed us and used her to stand by me. And the things that we have gone through, you would say, you'd be amazed. So first of all, that was the first thing that I had to do as God was speaking to me. Is this the right one for me? And how do I know that this is the right one for me? Man, that's tough. But believing that God was speaking to my heart and saying, you are the one for me. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So as we begin to develop and move through life and try to figure out, well, God, what is it you want me to do? There were many things that we'd done over time, and we went through many things together. We lost two children together through that time. God transitioned me from my job. I was a community program director for the YMCA. I went to seminary right after that. Through seminary, I started working at UPS. But in seminary, that began to develop what God wanted me to do as far as making that decision to go into the military. I remember this about going in the military. They told me, well, there are no slots open. Matter of fact, they were closing everything. And they said, there won't be any slots open for you getting the reserves, because I was in what they call a different kind of reserve because I was in school and going active duty. But I'm going to tell you how God works. God was moving in my life. And I don't care what anybody else said. They told me that I was trying to think of the date. Since it was in 89. Said, you're not going to be going to reserve. But the beginning of 1990, God opened up a slot. Said, yeah, you're going. Well, they said, well, you're not going to school because there's no slots available. They called me 2 months later and said, well, hey, there's a school slot available for you. Within 8 months, my endorser called me right after I had just come back from my first duty assignment at Robins Air Force Base and asked me, do you want to go to active duty? After they told me, you're not going active duty, you're not going to reserves, they called me within that year saying, okay, do you want to go? I said, yeah, I want to go right at the end of the year. So yes. The end of that year, I went active duty. And nobody but God opened up the door for me. Not because I was anything special, because I just believed because I loved him. He opened up the door. Here's the direction that you got to go. Here's the footsteps that you need to walk in. God has given every one of us a pattern and a direction. But are you listening to the voice of God? Take your neighbor and say, are you listening to the voice of God? It takes you listening for the voice of God. And I believe at the end of that year, after I went active duty, was when we lost our next child. So it was kind of rough. It's kind of starting out. But through all of that, God has blessed us. And then David came along. And Bryson came along, and Bryson probably, we always tell that story that we were actually in the Japan when Bryson was born, and we made a decision that we weren't going to call our parents because we had so much trouble in the States with others. So for 9 months, we did not tell our parents that we were having a child because we didn't want them to worry about us. So I called my mom, and we did a two-way the day Bryson was born, and said, hey, do y'all want to be grandparents again? And they say, yeah, well, here, you got a son right now, a grandson right now. They were surprised. The only person I told was my sister. She was the only one that knew that they were pregnant. But I say that this morning to say, as men and women of God, that you have got to allow God to lead. You have got to develop a relationship with God for yourself. It's not about the person that you're with. It's not about your kids. It's not about your father or your mother. It's about you. Tell your neighbor, say, it's about you. And on Wednesday night, the pastor shared something, and man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Go to my next slide, the honor model. This is what I believe it's like. And pastor said it on Wednesday night. Those of you who are part of the leadership, it's about, first of all, you have to learn to honor God. Honor God in everything that you, there has got to be a love in you for who God is and what God is doing for you. Every trial and tribulation that you're going to deal with, God says, I'll walk you through it. The problem is we don't want to stay at the table. You have got to stay at the table no matter what you go through. I was reminded of something that we did some years ago. My first assignment, Robert Duffy was a base. I was off work for that afternoon. So I made a decision that I'm going to take Lisa on a picnic. So I went out and bought a tablecloth, went out and bought some glasses, went out and bought some food and stuff. And I get home, and guess what? She had done the exact same thing. So what we decided to do was we're going to split the table in half. I put my side on my table, she put her side on her table. And we set out and we ate what we had. But that's the same way with God. God says, bring everything that you have in you to the table. Bring it to the table. And when you leave the table, you won't leave the table because all the stuff that you bring, your disappointments, your being unloved, your not trusting, he says, I'll take all that away and will feed you something else. But you have got to come to the table and not come and take all that stuff back with you. But he says, leave it at the table. I want you to come and sit with me. But anyway, if you look at this, it says, it begins, first of all, you have got to have a relationship. There has to be a two-way of more people who are connected with each other. So it's you and God. There has to be a relationship between you two. And then the second thing that has to be, there has to be fellowship. The way in which you interact in that relationship, that's going to produce the benefit. So how do you react and how do you relate to God? Is there any fellowship between you and God? If there's no fellowship, there are no what? There are no benefits. How you can you expect to receive from God if there's no relationship, if there's no fellowship, there are not going to be any benefits. Tell your neighbor, say, do you want any benefits? The result of a healthy fellowship within any relationship is there are going to be benefits. Man, can you see what God wants you to have in your life? He wants you to have benefits. He wants you to have everything that you need to take you through life. But it's up to you to make that decision. Am I going to sit at the table and eat with God and sup with him and talk with him and fellowship with him? The next thing I think you got to have all that together. Turn to the next slide for me. But there are two things that I think that you can have to go with it. You got to honor God, first of all. But in honoring God, that has to be passion. And there's got to be a heart-to-heart relationship. We talk about those two in marriage, but that's the same process that has to be between you and God. Is there passion and is there heart-to-heart? Heart-to-heart. Love between our God and his fellows is the key. Followers is the key. The beginning of the heart of the Christian race. King David has it when he read through Psalms. Let me read just a couple of verses from him, what he says. He says to himself, why are you despised, O my soul, despaired, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. My soul wait in silence for God alone, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. How shall I be shaken? Oh God, my salvation, my glory rests. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. And David says again in Psalm 63:1, oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you honestly. My soul thirsted for you. My flesh yearns for you. Man, heart-to-heart relationship that you got to have. Then that's got to be some passion for God. And we talk about passion, we always talk about that when it's connected to work. But what about your passion when it comes to your emotion, when it comes to God? At the root of it all, it points that there's a strong emotion inside of you for someone or something. What kind of passion do you have for your God? Is there a passion that says, man, I can't help but love God with all my heart? If I can say two things, I honor God and I have a passion for God, and as a heart-to-heart relationship with God. Those three things, man, have kept me through every trial and tribulation, everything that I've gone through over these last 60 years of my life. I just have a love for God. I don't care what else is going on, I have a love for God because I know all things work for my good. I can say that 100,000 times, and I will. All things work for my good because of the love that I have for him, not because of anything else, because the love that I have for him. True passion for God involves an investment. Investment of who you are and what you are. Paul says these words, whatever things were given to me, those things I count as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the passing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and counting them for rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Do you have a love relationship with God? Do you have a heart-to-heart fellowship with God? Here's some things that I think that will happen. If you want to get to that point, here, let me give you a couple of things. Go to the next slide for me. First of all, you got to have a longing, an intimate relationship with God. There has to be a longing, man. Do you long to be in the presence of God? Before it's even time to church, are you just young and just, man, I got to get to church. I wonder what song they're going to say. I wonder what pastor's going to say. I wonder what word is going to speak to me. That has to be a longing for God. Second thing is, there has to be rest. The word says this, be still and know that I am God. Man, some of us can talk God to death, and God can never get a word in edgewise. Man, I love this commercial on TV, and this one doesn't make sense to you, but I love that new commercial that on the an insurance where the father's driving the car, and all the kids got the headphones on, and he's just talking, and they not paying attention to what he's saying. Man, that has become my favorite commercial. And I'm like, man, that's about what it is. What we get on our headphones, we get on our iPods, we're on our phones, and we're just talking, and we're paying attention to nothing else. Nothing else. Man. But God wants to have that relationship with us. Be still and know that I am God. Stop moving. Stop using all the technology. And just rest in him. Then you got to lighten up. Throw off every heavy thing, anything that can cause you stress. The Bible says, cast your what? Your cares upon me what? Because the Lord what? Cares for you. Man, cast it to God. He'll give you peace through that process. Uh-oh, this other one's going to really be hard. You got to shut up. The Bible says, let all the earth be silent before him. Do not be afraid to be silent. It is hard for us to sit in the room and not say anything. It's hard for us to sit down and not do anything. Man, we got to do something. You think about it. If you ever make a decision one day, and I got a brother, one of the brothers was talking about it not too long ago, when they sit down to dinner, that everybody has to give up their phone. Sit down one day and say, everybody, all right, everybody got to give up their phone before you come in and see what happens. See if there's conversation. See if there's silence in the room. Five is this. You got to tune in, flow, and listen. You got to listen to that small, still voice within you. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You got to have an attitude of complete trust in the Lord, for he is for you, and he is not against you. Listen to what those thoughts come fresh from deep within, from your heart where Christ is. You got to tune in. You got to flow. And you got to listen to that small, still voice that's speaking to you. Then six is you got to feel. You got to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. For the love of God is shown about in your hearts. In essence, you got to simply be and no doing. Let's meaning allow to happen. Believe that you are what God says you are. And believe that he is who he say he is and what he is like. Feel him. Know that he's in your presence. Seven is you got to connect. Jesus prayed this. Father, that they may be one even as we are one. You got to allow the Holy Spirit within you to make ready you that you and the Lord are one and not two. What does this actually mean? Oneness of mind thinking. Oneness of purpose. Simply when life heals in your body and you are joined to the Lord now, not going to be anything else but whatever God is speaking into your heart. Number eight, you got to be attentive. My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus. The spirit within you is going to teach. And when he begins to teach, I got to begin to hear and do. Watch your mind, what your mind does and does not do if you listen. You're going to receive all the blessings that the Lord has for you when you let him speak to your heart. You got to clear the longing of your heart. You got to rest in him. You got to lighten up. You got to shut up. You got to tune in, and you got to connect, and you got to be attentive. I believe this. If all those things begin to happen as men of God, here's what I think will happen. Turn to my next slide for me. Here's a sign of a man who's gone, and his walk is beginning to go that direction. First of all, he is going to be faithful. A father is faithful, looking after his family, particularly his children. He is the one who displays accountability and dependability to his family. Second thing is, he's accepting. A father is accepting of children even when they have done wrong. While a father never condones wrong, a good father makes every legitimate allowance for unworthy acts. You hear me? Y'all didn't hear that, didn't you? There are going to be some wrong acts. Sometimes we got to let them go. Sometimes we got to pardon the error of our children or our spouse. And we got to repent or let them repent to us. Second, third thing is this. As a father, you are a teacher. A father is a teacher instructing the way that things should be, especially the things of the Lord. A father teaches both by word and by example. Then H is honorable. A father is honorable, even though it may be not conventional. His word should be his bond, even if spoken rashly or without much thought. Fathers who keep their words and their words live beyond their own lifetime in their lives of their children and their grandchildren. Every word that you speak, your children are grabbing hold to. Do you realize that? E, man, a father empathizes with his children. He feels their hurt or his wife's hurt. If a child is overtaken with sickness, sometimes even a father would say, man, give it to me. He'll ask the Lord to take it away. He empathizes. He supports. He's there. It R, responsibility. A father is responsible for his actions and for the future of his family. Part of the responsibility comes through the proper handling of private and public affairs. A father would never do anything which would only bring shame or suffering on his family. As you walk through this relationship with God, there is going to be change in your life. Look back at the text real quickly, and then we're done. What did he tell Abraham? He says, for I have chosen him so that, first of all, that he will direct his children. He's not looking to anybody else. He's not pointing to the church. He's not pointing to the schools. He's not pointing to mama. He's not pointing to his daddy. He's not pointing to anybody else. I am responsible for the direction that I give in my family. You got to make a decision. Will I be the one? Turn to a man and say, will you be the one? I had this saying that I picked up. I don't know where I came from, if I made it up myself. But I can't be a man if I don't see a man. Turn to a man and say, I guess I got to be a man to another man. Can't be a woman to a man. But tell him, I can't be a man unless I see a man. We always want people to be a man, but if I can't see a man, I need an example of what a man ought to be like. So the first thing is that God gives you direction. Then he goes down to say, his household after him, he said, to keep the way of the Lord. So if things are going to happen right, first of all, I got to give them direction, and then I got to help them keep the way of the Lord. And he says this unto him, and Lord, by doing what is right and just, so when I do what is right and just, the Lord is going to bring about something to Abraham. He says, I'm going to bring about my promises. Man, God says, I'm going to bring about my promises if you will stand up and do what is right. What kind of parent are you going to be? What kind of father are you going to be? You got to make a decision. I'm going to live for me, not for what I saw, not for what they say that I am, but what does God say that I am? God is looking for men and women who will say, I will. I will lead my family. I will be counted as a friend of God. I will speak up in times, and I'll stand up when I need to. I will trust in the Lord. I will protect my family. I will provide for my family. I will stand up for my family. I will love them. I will say yes to God's will. I can and I will with the help of the Lord. I may be sad. I may be hurt. I may be angry. I may be mad. I may be disappointed. But what do you want? I'm going to put my happiness in the Lord. I will survive because the Lord is my shield. I will lead my family to church. I will not give up on my kids or my spouse. I will serve the Lord with all my heart. That's what God is looking from us today. He said, will you serve me with all my heart? Will you have a love, a heart-to-heart connection with me? That's what God wants from us. If you want to live the kind of life that God wants you to have, then you got to have a heart-to-heart. You got to have a love for him. You got to have an honor for the man upstairs. Man, I love this song that came out, and we now sing it here. And it talks about God. And to me, that's the greatest thing that I got when both my fathers passed away, was I looked to my Father in heaven, who became my Father. And I love that song because it starts off and it says, I heard a thousand stories of what they say you're like. I heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me what you're pleased, that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's only who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I love by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers only you provide, because you know just what we need. Before we say a word, you are a good, good father. God wants to help you to get over whatever hurt and pain that you've gone through in your life over the years. He says, I'm here for you. I'm here. I'm your father. I love you. I support you. All you have to do give me your mind and your heart and submit yourself to me. He says, that walk, that steps, those things that you need every day, I'm going to show you how to do it. Don't be afraid. I'm here for you. The Lord is here for you. Would you stand with me today as we pray? Maybe that's somebody this morning who does not know the Lord as a personal Savior. And we want to give you an opportunity to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe that's somebody who just wants prayer this morning for, maybe you don't have the Father in your life, and maybe that's something that you need from God. Maybe that's some father, man, God, I need you to help me to be the father that I know you want me to be. I want to be a fresh new father in the light of my children.